calling the meeting to order. Today is July the 8th, 2015. Roll call.
Maria DeAnda.
Here.
Jim DeMartini.
Here.
Michael O'Neill.
Here.
Jeff Grover.
Here.
Jason Gordo.
Here.
Mike Lynch.
Here.
Donna Riley.
Here.
Gordon Ford.
You here?
We have a form. Oh, Joan Clendenin, sorry.
Here. Announcements.
I have several, unless somebody wants to go before me. Okay. So originally we had Veris scheduled to talk at 1:30 today. Unfortunately, they had a United flight out of Seattle, which if you heard what happened to United this morning. So they're going to be late. So they don't expect to get here until about a little after 2 was the last report I got from them. So I have a feeling we're going to have a little break here because I don't think any PC is going to show up until they're a lot of time, which is 2:30, so they're probably going to be pushed back as well. So I have a hunch we're going to have about a half-hour break where we're going to be twiddling our thumbs for a little while.
So. Well, we have snacks.
Yeah.
So water, coffee,
and lunch.
The other thing I wanted to mention, I forgot to bring this up last time, about the power lines outside for the window washing. We had actually MID come out here. And we have submitted a request to them, and they're going to do an engineering study to see how much it would cost to bury the power lines. But when he was out there, I kind of twisted his arm and wanted to know approximately what that number would be, and he thinks it's going to be about $250,000. And I asked him why it was much more or much less than what the original estimate was when the building was put up, and he told me because he thinks the original estimate was including burying the lines all the way from road to road. And he says, we don't have to do that. We just have to bury the lines from where the garage ends down to the road. So we're looking at about unofficially $250,000 plus what it would cost AT&T, which we don't know that number yet, to bury some other lines. But he didn't think that was going to be that much. And we figured around $300,000 all told. But we will have an official estimate from them at the end of July. That's where we are.
And what would our share be, about 1/6 of that? Or?
Yes. A quarter.
Yeah, I think it's more than 6.
It's a quarter. Because 2 floors are for Westland, and then 3 floors are for the DA, and 1 floor is for Stansara.
Westland would be part of that.
Floors?
I'm sorry?
Wouldn't Westland be part of that?
That's what I said.
They would be part of it. It would be by
four. Why wouldn't it be 1/6?
Yeah. So who are we subsidizing?
Or 1/3?
Maybe it is a third.
Okay.
It is a third.
Okay. Also, Scott Smith, legal counsel for alternative investments.
Sorry.
1/6.
It is. Because I was thinking the 2-way, not the 3-way. Sorry. Yes, it's a 6.
Scott Smith okayed the investment in Raven 3 Fund, and so we signed the contract for that, and we actually started funding it on Monday. And I just want to let you know that I will not be present at the next July meeting. I'm going to take a vacation for that week. And that's what I have.
What I have is it's fiscal year end, so the fiduciary liability policy has been renewed. I will be sending out the formal notification for you to bring me your $9.09, and let's see, Maria will have to give you $9.10 for the waiver of recourse. But I will send out an email this week, and then you can bring me a check next week and mail it to me.
I'm going to have to get a payday loan.
I know there's a good one around the corner.
Jacob's going to have to report you.
Oh, I didn't get it.
Any more announcements? No. Public comment? No public? Consent items.
I move that we approve the consent items as printed.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any additional discussion? With that, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so moved. Just one thing, Joan is having a little problem with her hearing aid today, so speak louder, please.
And especially my point.
You should listen better, Joan.
Anyways, with that, we get to, let's see, the executive director.
Okay, this is item 6A. It's a discussion and action item, and it has to do with the idea of moving to single monthly retirement board meetings. So we did a little bit of research, and historically we found that in 1999, Stan Sara went to two meetings a month at that time, and that was due to the increasing complexity of investment ideas and issues that were going on at that time. And also another side is that the disability process was much more involved, and the board actually spent a lot of time reviewing the disabilities. And now the process is much more streamlined. The board relies heavily on disability council's recommendations, and most of the ones that are approved are done in open session anyway. So the only ones that really go into closed session, there's a lot of discussion, are the ones that are initially denied. So that's kind of a background as to what went on when we went from one meeting to two meetings in 99. So when we looked at what other systems do, we queried and researched all the other systems to find out what they did. And out of the 2037 Act systems, 14 conduct business only once monthly. One has two separate boards, and five, including us, have two meetings per month. Most of the systems we found that do one meeting a month rely very heavily on committees. They have disability committees, internal governance committees, investment committees, and they rely heavily on their recommendation when they take action on certain items. And they almost always have multiple committee meetings per month. And almost all systems, except a few, I can't remember how many I counted here, but almost all systems begin their meetings in the morning. And if you saw the agenda item, you'll see that those statistics there. So getting down to the discussion on the logistics of single monthly meetings, just so you know, we would expect that if we did go to single monthly meetings that they would last approximately 3 hours on average, and they would range from 1.5 to 4 hours. And that's just kind of considering the amount of business we do for both meetings each month now. And because of that, we would recommend, if you guys choose to go this route, that we do begin in the morning. Because if not, I think we're going to have several meetings a year that would probably push into 5 o'clock and maybe beyond as well. At the onset, even though a lot of systems rely heavily on committees, we don't think that that would necessarily be the case right now, at least initially. We think the committee meetings would probably be about the same, so we don't anticipate that anymore. However, if things did start to get heavy later on and we still wanted to remain having one meeting a month, and we could always use committees more as we see fit. We would also recommend single monthly meetings taking place the third Wednesday of each month, and that wasn't just arbitrary. We figured that, one for one, wouldn't interfere with Board of Supervisors meetings on Tuesday. And every once in a while, we have to shuffle meetings around in either May or November because of SAGRs. So if we had it on the third Wednesday of every month, none of those issues would ever come into play. At least historically, they would not have ever come into play had we had this policy in place. And also, we would, if you decide to do this, we would say, suggest or recommend that this start in January of 2016, since we've already got the board agenda out there posted for the entire year, and we don't want to shuffle anything up right now. There is one risk that I want to bring to your attention. There's a chance that from time to time we would have to have more special meetings if something comes up and a decision has to be made before the next meeting. I've been here for 3.5 years, and that's only happened twice. So I would imagine it would happen slightly more than that from time to time, but it is a very distinct possibility that we would have to have a special meeting once in a while to make up that time difference. So that's my discussion or presentation, if you have any questions.
I have a concern, and Jeff and Jason, you could maybe answer this. If we had the meeting in the morning, would it discourage outside members from being willing to serve on the board? A lot of business gets done in the morning. We have more contact with New York and the East Coast. And I would just be concerned that that could hamper some people's willingness to sit on the board.
I would be much more favorable 1 o'clock start time. because then I know I have to be somewhere at 1 versus a morning and an unknown ending, right? Like, I can, for me, I can block my schedule from noon on and not have to worry about anything. But if we get a morning start and it goes longer, then when do I book my next thing?
You're assuming that we're going to change to one day a month, one meeting a month, and I'm not going to assume that. I think...
Well, I was just giving the start time
right.
question.
Well,
no.
There's so much going on right now. I mean, we've got a new bank that's just come on. We've got new consultants we're about to hire. We're talking about hiring an investment manager. All that stuff is going on. I just think the timing is off to do something like this.
Well, it wouldn't happen until January.
Right.
It wouldn't happen until January.
Yeah. What I would suggest is that we discuss it again at our annual meeting and decide, before we publish the year's calendar, decide what to do.
So you would suggest discussing this at the asset liability study at the end of the year? You're suggesting that we discuss this at the asset liability study at the end of the year in October or November? When you say annual meeting, okay.
Well, yeah.
We don't typically have an annual meeting, so that could be.
I think it's a pretty simple thing. We could establish whether or not we want to have one or two meetings. We could talk about it now and vote on it now. I don't see an issue with that.
I think we could make that a first step. Do we want to move to one meeting a month? And then we can determine, we can make it either as a part of the motion or non-motion, whether we want to do it in the morning or the afternoon.
We can always go back, too. If we start this and it doesn't work and people are not happy, we can always go back to two meetings a month.
Rick, the only comment I would have is that all of the court hearings start at 8:30 in the morning. And so, like today, I was in court in Stockton, and I didn't get back to my desk until about 11:30. So if you're going to do it once or twice, it makes no difference. I just think that to do it in the morning would make it very difficult for me to attend.
And I have the same issue with court.
What's the pleasure of the board?
Call for the question if we're going to have a meeting once or twice a month. That seems pretty simple to me.
So, does anyone want to make a motion on the presentation on the action item?
I'll make a motion. Okay. I move that we go to a once a month meeting and we start that at 1:00 in the afternoon. Okay.
And with the third Wednesday of each month?
With the third Wednesday of each month being the set meeting date.
I would second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Could I suggest that we amend that to review it after 1 year?
I would gladly accept that amendment to my motion.
Do you gladly accept this
motion? Still stand.
All right, so we have a motion on the table that says move to effective January 2016 to move our meetings to once a month, the third Wednesday of every month, at 1:00 until business is done. Great. Okay.
And review.
Sorry?
And review in a year, did you say?
And review in a year, sorry about that.
Okay.
We have any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Then I think you need to do a roll call vote.
Okay, roll call.
Trustee DeAnda?
Yes.
Trustee Riley?
Yes.
Trustee O'Neill?
Yes.
Trustee Gordon?
Yes.
Trustee Grover?
Yes.
Trustee Lynch?
Yes.
Trustee DeMartini?
No.
Jagan for Gordon Port?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-1.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, the next item, staff report.
Okay, this is just an information item only, monthly staff report. I'll give you a quick overview of what was going on in the investment governance side of things, and then I will toss it over to Kathy and Don for the other two items. Very simply, the evaluation team and staff were working on the investment consultant position, which should wrap up hopefully today. The due diligence team, as you know, we reported out last meeting that we had completed our annual on-site visits, and that went very well. And also, this last couple weeks, we've been involved pretty heavily with the legal review and the side letter negotiation with Raven. But as you know, that's been wrapped up. And that's the investment governance side.
Okay. Well, the fiscal services team was working hard. I went on vacation. We have been working on the investment consultant and the pension system project manager slash consultant RFPs. I do have two of those in. We will start reviewing those as soon as we finish today's meeting. That's the next one. So we're moving forward piece at a time on all of these RFPs. The staff has been continuing to transition the retiree payroll from the member side to the accounting side of the equation. And we've also put some finishing touches on our disaster plan for the organization. So if something were to happen, how we would access our system and where we would access it from. So we feel we're in pretty good shape. We're going to be running a drill this year, probably in August, just to test the waters and see how it works, because we have to be able to log in from basically anywhere to see if we have. We're unique in that a disaster, whether it be flood the building, power went down, or whatever, would have to happen in a very specific period of the time for the month and last a very long time for it to really affect us. The most critical thing we have to do is to get the retiree payroll done, and we currently give ourselves about a 10-day window. We finish payroll about the 20th of the month, and it doesn't actually go out till the end of the month. So if something happened and we lost power downtown for 2 days, we could almost just sit still for 2 days and wait for it to come back. But we do still need to plan for the worst and without getting crazy or paranoid about it. So we're in pretty good shape. We're very fortunate in that sense. If something went on for a longer period of time, we would need to set up shop somewhere else, and we've been looking at where we would do that and how we would do it. So we're putting finishing touches on it. Staff has also began working with the new auditors, the financial auditors, pulling the information they want and getting their samples to them. So things are moving forward.
Does the DA's office not have backup power?
I don't know what the DA's backup power is. We actually are completely separate. I don't know what there. As far as our building is, does not have a backup generator as a whole. But I expect their server situation is very different. The county backs up our stuff. The county actually has our servers. We don't. So they would also have to go down. Not only would our building have to go down, but their network would have to go down. So again, we're kind of unique in that we have a couple layers before we even get to what we would call a disaster situation. So no, we don't work with the DA on this. So
if the county servers went down, would we be
dead in the water? No, we would not be. That's what our disaster does. We actually contract with our pension software vendor to access everything, off-site. We can dial in and get to it all. And we tested that just about 6 months ago. We ran that test, and we can do that.
So it's redundant.
It is redundant. Okay. We have some redundancy. We wouldn't necessarily want to do that for a long term. We could, but it would be slower than what we can do, on site. But if we needed to push out a retiree payroll, such as the disaster they had in Louisiana several years ago, we could actually duplicate a retiree's payroll within a 24-hour period, which wouldn't get everybody, but it would get, 98% of our retirees if we duplicated a previous payroll. And we have all that information right there. So we're in pretty good shape there. We feel good about that. And most of our retirees do electronic. And if we had to handwrite 150 checks, we would. So, that sounds crazy, but it also doesn't make sense to buy a lot of redundant equipment that's just going to get outdated before you actually get around to using it. Sometimes you're better off with pen and paper to do some of that stuff, because it is a very small number that we would actually have to write by hand. So we feel pretty good about that.
So I'll remember how to write.
No, that's Don's job. I'm going to be dialing the phone to get a hold of Tyler. But I think in that sense we're in pretty good shape. So that's all.
Okay, on member and employer services, we've been keeping everybody busy on this side of the room as well. The ladies were able to produce 48 estimates and 49 buybacks during the month, and they also saw another 48 people in counseling sessions. This could be just learning about retirement. This could be related to some of those estimates that were sent out and buybacks, getting that process started for them. All kinds of different counseling appointments happen there, and of course the people who are actually retiring. In addition to that, we did have staff go out and give a couple of presentations this month. They were able to meet with about 65 court employees. Courts have asked us to come out a couple of times a year, and it's always very well attended, and so to have 65 people be able to get freed up and attend to learn more about their retirement was very nice. They also, we sent staff over to the, it's called the Pay Dirt. Pay Dirt is the group of payroll and HR clerks throughout the county, and we are part of that core team. And they normally meet quarterly. It's been a little less often than that lately, but Stan Sarah is part of the core team, and we go and we present at that meeting each time that they have one to get more information out there to the payroll clerks and HR clerks, because there's a lot of turnover in that area. So even though some of them have been in their job for a long time, we need to make sure we keep them all refreshed on what's going on our end, what the requirements are, and how they get information to us, how they can find information that we have available for them, and that type of thing. So that was very well attended, with about 75 payroll and HR clerks there. So that was great as well. And then we are also starting to take a look at some of the existing processes that we have in place. When PEPRA came around, we had to add a lot of things to what we were doing, but some of the things we knew weren't going to affect us immediately, but we're far enough down the road now that some things from PEPRA are starting to affect us more now. So this would be when people come to work now and they're in one tier, then if they establish reciprocity, they may need to be put into a different tier. We have to true up contributions. If they want to redeposit into a prior tier and they're in tier six now, all of these different things, we're now far enough down the road that we're starting to see this happen. So we are starting to review our processes to make sure that when we get ready to do our new pension software, that we will be ready and make sure that we get everything programmed in there that we're gonna need. And so some of you noticed the board. This is part of what we're working on right now. We've started by tackling the buyback types and the buyback processes that we have in place, because we wanna make sure that we have a very thorough understanding of what needs to be done, how it's currently being done, and any changes that may need to be made before we go into this new project. We want to make sure that we do this as effectively and efficiently as possible. So we've spent some time on that as well.
I have a question. I should have asked this earlier. It's a consent item, but I wonder. In the complaints, it had three complaints about the heat in the office and active retirees.
I was wondering about that.
And having issues with the air conditioning.
Yes, the air conditioning.
This room got up to 90 degrees one day. A couple of weeks ago.
So did somebody in the office call you and say?
No, I actually, about 4:30, I sent everybody home.
Oh, okay.
Because it was just way too darn hot in here.
Yeah.
It's been, they've taken it upon themselves, though, and they've actually done pretty good keeping things going last week, so I'm happy with that.
Kelly's on.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was nasty here for a couple of days. Really bad.
Okay, thanks. I just...
And they were people that actually had come into the office to take care of business and were not... They were very uncomfortable here in our office trying to take care of business.
Okay.
Between the heater and it not just went down, but the heat came on. And the elevators that don't like to run.
Yeah, that's a problem today.
Yeah.
That's actually, both are becoming, unfortunately, common.
Can I also say that, and Rick, the presence of the retirement board at the HR manager's meeting is always appreciated. They always add, you know, good information to the conversation.
I think let's go into closed session and do the one item that has nothing to do with the interviewees, and then we'll come back out and adjourn for a while.
Okay. Do you have anything else as far as the executive director?
That's it.
Okay. All right. Then do we have a motion to go?
Motion to go in closed session.
Second.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
You can stay.
Kelly, we're down to one microphone, so.
That one?
Clearly.
Oh, darn that one. Okay, Kelly, would you like to read out the closed session?
I have a readout from closed session item 7E. Motion was made by Trustee Gordo and seconded by Trustee Lynch to authorize the executive director to finalize the terms of the contract and enter into an agreement with Verus for a 3-year term with an option to renew. Motion carried unanimously.
Thank you.
And when would this start? We're thinking the end of August or September, the August or September meeting.
Then you're going to read out.
Do we have SIS?
We have one more item to read out.
Okay, Kelly.
There is a correction to the agenda for the approved deferred retirement. Stephen Clegg with DER effective 4/6/15 is not a deferred retirement. It is a service retirement.
We have to do anything to amend our previous motion. So the correction is noted. So with that, it's been a while since we went through members forum. So if anybody's had any second thoughts?
If any board member wants to attend the restful picnic, I'll buy their ticket.
What? How much is it anyway? I do plan on being there.
Rhonda
sent me an invitation.
Yeah, you're
what
already,
is it, free?
Are you going to be there?
When is it?
9th, 8th of August.
Yeah.
I will commit 100%, but I'll tell you, I'll drive. That's a big commitment on your part. Well, I don't know what's going to confer with my better half.
Oh, she'll go. There's food. No, I'm just kidding.
These people know that you like free barbecue for people. That's what I think.
I do not know what Trustee Grover speaks of.
It's in code. So with that, I think we are adjourned.